السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز، لسنرز اینڈ ریسیورز، دیز آر دا مبارک ڈیز آف ذوالحجہ، اینڈ یو ہیو بین لسننگ ٹو مینی ورچوز آف دیز مبارک ڈیز فرام ڈفرنٹ اسپیکرز. نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام، وی آل نو دیٹ دا قرآن شریف واز ریویلڈ اپون ہیم، اینڈ دیر واز نو ون مور ٹروتھفل دین نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. The ayat of the Qur'an Sharif clearly discuss these 10 days of Zilhijjah, the 10 nights, the virtues Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in the ahadith, most of which you have now heard. When these days come, then I generally mention one or two things which are quite important for us to remember, because we know that it will terminate with the Qurbani. After we have made our Eid Salat, then the Qurbani that will take place, we will say that that is the termination. Although the days will end on the 9th, but on the 10th day, which is the day of Qurbani, the day which we know as Eid al-Adha, and throughout the world people will be sacrificing animals. The Hujjaj, those who are in Hajj, after they return from Arafat, they will come to Mina, and depending on what type of Hajj they are making, whether it is Tamattu or Ifrat, Qiran, now I'm not going into that discussion. So some of them will then be making the Qurbani, because if the person is making Ifrat, then there is no need for it. But that is an academic discussion, as we call it. Now here we are talking about the Qurbani that will take place. Now this Qurbani, unfortunately, we have just relegated it to some kind of a ritual that you buy one animal and slaughter it, and we think that we have done our duty. And at present, with all these advertisements of 100 rand, 200 rand or 90 rand and even 60 rand a share Qurbani, it has become more or less a kind of a joke. Sometimes we are not even aware where the monies are going, who is doing the Qurbani. And then knowing fully well our own richness, and if we had to buy the sheep here, or if we had to buy one share here in an animal, what it will cost. But looking at these advertisements, we say it's an easy way out. So give 100 rand and finish. For Nafil Qurbani, yes indeed. Nafil Qurbani, we want to make Nafil Qurbani and send the sawab to the marhum family members or deceased, or you want to send it to the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then that is acceptable, that the person says, well, I will take so many shares, so many shares, so many shares. But when it comes to the person's wajib qurbani, that if the person has that much upon which zakat normally comes wajib, that means he is sahib and nisab. But in zakat, there are lots of other masail, that it is on gold, it is on silver, it is on merchandise for sale. 3 ounces of gold, 21 ounces of silver, it's equivalent in cash or merchandise for sale, and so many other details that go with it. But when it comes to sadqatul, when it comes to this qurbani, then it is not a question of, or the person on whom sadqatul fitr becomes wajib. It is not a question of just gold, silver and merchandise for sale. over and above, that means surplus, over and above a person's needs, and not even in possession of the person for 1 year. That it's very difficult to explain the masail in a Jummah Bayan. People get confused. When we say 1 year, then they think sometimes that each item of gold or silver or whatever we have possessed must be with us 1 year. It doesn't mean that. It means that once the person has become possessor of nisab, then from then onwards, at the end of the year, when he's going to calculate how much does he have at that time, excluding his liabilities and debts. So now all those masail are of zakat. But when it comes to qurbani, then the person who has got, for example, a radio, a hi-fi, he's got a television screen, he's got surplus car, or he's got many, many other things that are just surplus. They just lie in the house. They've got a big value, but we don't even use it for years and years. Then that person's qurbani will become wajib upon him. It's not a question of, now I don't have gold, I don't have silver, and I don't have cash. The person has got so much of other items which are useless, which are surplus, which are not even being used. So then this person will have to give a qurbani. It is wajib. So now when it becomes a wajib qurbani, then wherever the person is living and residing, then they, according to the value of that animal, the person, if he wants to send a share somewhere, then he should send. But the most, or the correct thing to do, is that at least one animal, one goat, one sheep, or something, should be done in our yards. This whole issue of our yards get dirty, now that is not acceptable at all. There is barakat in it. Yes, if there are municipal laws, or we are living in a block of flats, or we are living in such area where it is very difficult, or for some other reason the person is now old, the person does not have that kind of facilities, then it is a different thing. But if everybody is just going to say, get rid of it, let put the burden on somebody else, and then we will just get information, your qurbani is done, then our children will be deprived of this great ni'mat of qurbani. There are great lessons in this qurbani. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, ma hazihi al-adahi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that what are these qurbani animals, the sacrificial animals, what is it all about? Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, it is the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what was, and after that of course the virtue and sawab on the hair on the animal and all that is a different thing. But what was the sunnah of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? What did Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam do? Did he just go and buy one animal, 100 rand animal, and slaughter it and say that I sacrifice the best? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was told to put the knife on the throat of his son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. A Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to put the knife on the throat of Hazrat Ismail, his son. Another Nabi. What must have crossed his mind? What kind of sabr and patience they must have exercised? And what kind of yaqeen and tawakkul and trust they must have had in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? And what kind of commitment and submission? Do we think it's an easy thing? Yes, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam submitted to the will and desire of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and placed the knife, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala replaced it with a ram. But until then he did not know. It's not that he knew long before time that if I'm going to place this knife on the throat of my son, Allah Ta'ala will save my son and there will be a ram in his place. If he knew that, then is that something serious? Anybody else can do that too. So that was the real qurbani. Allah Ta'ala made it easy for us that we slaughter an animal. So ibadat are of different kinds. There are different kinds of ibadat. Namaz has got its own noor. Zakat has got its own light. Fasting has got its own noor. Hajj has got a different noor. In the same way, charities have got their different noor and light. If each of these ibadat, they light up the heart. It's just that we commit so much of sins after doing ibadat that no light remains there. We switch on the light and thereafter, within seconds, we switch it off and make it dark again, then who do we blame? But if only we had to accumulate, then that person himself will experience a difference in his heart. So in fasting, in hajj, in zakat, in charities, in serving the poor, the needy, the destitute, the widows and the orphans, and in teaching the deen and propagating the deen and passing on the message of the Quran and Sunnah, all these things have got their own nur and light. Each ibadat is different. There is, like how we have, they say, in the different kinds of foods that we eat, then medical science will tell us, well, this fruit or this food contains this vitamin, that vitamin, that vitamin. This one contains this mineral, that mineral, that mineral. This one contains carbohydrates and this one contains other things. Now they give us a whole list of things. And as far as the vitamins are concerned, they started from vitamin A. Then it went to vitamin B. And thereafter they went on and on. Now we have vitamin X, Y, Z. There's nothing left now. There's so many different kinds of vitamins they are talking about, that the person now becomes so confused, he doesn't know which food item contains what. But we believe that the different things are required for the body, for the nourishment of the body. If a person only has that which has got carbohydrates and nothing else, the person doesn't have any kind of thing that has proteins or minerals, then we'll say that person won't be healthy. Now we all accept that, especially when it comes to dieting, then everybody accepts that, that there must be a balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what is the balance when it comes to our spiritual health. Our spiritual health also requires a balance. There are different items, different ingredients, different vitamins and different minerals that are required, spiritual. That is what this is, that namaz has got its own, roza, zakat, hajj and everything has got its different vitamins or minerals or its different noor. Then when it comes to qurbani, it has got its own noor, it has got its own light, it has got its own benefits and it's got its own virtues. So we cannot say that now because there are lots of poor and needy people in the world and they require some kind of meat which they haven't eaten for the whole year. So therefore, now our whole concentration and objective is that the poor and needy must get some meat. Now for the poor and needy to get meat, we got the whole year round. We spend thousands of rands on so many different things, so many useless items. Whole year round we will not be concerned about those poor and needy who did not have any kind of meat to eat for the whole year. It's not that we have to wait till the day of Qurbani and thereafter suddenly we get up from our sleep and slumber and we say there are so many people who haven't eaten any meat. So therefore all the Qurbani now is for no other purpose but just to distribute meat. And we will give all the virtues of feeding the poor and feeding the needy. No doubt there is great virtue. But does it mention anywhere in the Quran Sharif or the Hadith Sharif? Does it say anywhere that the poor and needy must only be fed on the day of Qurbani? On the day of Qurbani you must slaughter your animal and then give the meat to poor and needy. Throughout the year, just as we distribute other items, what is wrong if the person says, right, from my side, his side, her side, whoever's side, how will they make pledges? Then so many animals I will, for Qurbani, not for Qurbani, but for meat purposes. During the course of the year for meat distribution. Nothing wrong with that. And that is what we should be doing. But when it comes to Qurbani, then all the emphasis should not be placed just on the distribution of meat. That is a benefit. In those days, the acceptance of a Qurbani was where the person took his meat and put it on the side of the mountain. And thereafter a fire came from. And if the fire burnt up that meat, or the flesh of that animal, or that carcass, then that was a sign of acceptance. That was one of the sign of acceptance, that the person's qurbani is now accepted. Now finished, nobody benefited anything from that meat. No poor and needy received anything from that meat. And that is exactly what should have been ordered. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if they had ordered us that, irrespective of how many million people are poor around you, but you are doing this qurbani for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in reality you should have placed your son or that child which was most dear to you and put the knife on his throat. But we have made it easy for you that you find one animal, good, healthy, fit animal and slaughter it and then dig up a trench and bury the carcass. If we had been ordered that, then too it would have been great justice. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan would have been great upon us if we didn't benefit in any way. But look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsan. He said, you can eat, your parents can eat, your children can eat, the family members can eat, the rich can eat, the poor can eat. Now, if it was only for the poor and needy, then could the rich people have eaten from that Qurbani animal? The person who is slaughtering the animal, it is recommended that he should distribute. It doesn't mean exactly one-third, 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 but what it means is that at least one-third, more or less, give to the poor and needy, one-third he can give to family members, friends, and one-third he can keep for himself if he wishes to. And if he gives away everything also, there's nothing wrong. And if there is somebody, Kanjus, Makki, Chus, and he keeps the whole thing for himself, he says that, why should I distribute? I spend so much of money, so now let me eat for the rest of the year of my animal. Then too, we will say that that Qurbani was valid, although of course we know that there is a lack of ikhlas and the sawab is not going to be the same. So these things clearly show that it was not only for the poor and needy, this Qurbani. Then I mentioned, I think last year also, that if you look at the masail of Qurbani, say if a person bought 1 million animals, 1 million, and very, very healthy and fit, 1 million or more, and then he slaughters whole lot, all of them, before Fajr, on the day of Eid. Before the Eid namaz, he slaughters everything. Of course, certain places where there's no Eid namaz taking place, like some village here and there, masail are different. But if the person just slaughtered it before the morning of the Eid, and he says, I've got to distribute now the meat of 1 million animals, so therefore why wait now for the day of Eid? One day before that, couple of hours before the morning, he slaughters 1 million animals and he distributes all over, he gives. 1 million people, he gives them one sheep. Poor people. Go and ask any mufti of the world, whether it is Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki or Hanbali, is his Qurbani valid? If his Qurbani is not valid, what does it indicate? That their Qurbani was not for the purpose of distribution of meat to the poor. Although he distributed 1 million animals, but we say his Qurbani was not valid. We'll say that he distributed meat to the poor and needy. He'll get sawab for that. In the same way, we have so many different masail, that if the animal is blind, or has lost one third of its sight, or more than a third of its ear is cut off, or it does not have, or the horn of the animal is broken from the root. Now, so many different things that have been mentioned in the books of jurisprudence, where we are told that now the qurbani of that animal will not be valid. So what difference does that make to the flesh of that animal? This is the question we should be asking ourselves. That if the horn of the animal is broken from the root, does anybody after the qurbani, has anybody up till now received a request that I'm a very poor person, please send me the eyes of the animal? Or I'm a very poor person in need of qurbani meat, but I just want the horn of the animal. Nothing. Then what is the purpose then? That to say that if this animal has these type of defects, then the qurbani is not going to be valid. So what I'm getting across to you is simply this, that there is no doubt, great sawab and great reward in feeding the poor and the needy, and to distribute meat to the poor and needy. But the whole emphasis should not be put onto that. For if, for argument's sake, and it is not difficult for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to create such a condition and situation, and towards the latter part, towards close to Qiyamah, there will be lots of changes that will be coming. In the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there will be abundance again when he'll come back. Now all those details that we have in the Hadith Sharif. Now if in that locality and everywhere, every person has got affluence and plentiful, so will we say now there is no need for qurbani? Because who is going to eat the meat? So therefore this distribution of the meat to the poor and needy in its place, definitely we should not waste it, we should give it to somebody, share it with those who do not have, or those who are not able to buy some mutton and throughout the year. There's nothing wrong if we give them, we feed them. But that is something that should be taking place throughout the year. When it comes to this qurbani, then we should not be thinking in that direction as we had that whole group. In Pakistan, there was at one time a whole movement that said that what will you benefit if you have to slaughter so many animals and give it away? People will just eat the meat and finish, it's gone. Instead of that, if we collect all that money and then we establish a fund, and thereafter we give bursaries and we give scholarships And then from there we will produce doctors and lawyers and teachers. Now this is the mentality. That in all other things they never thought of it. That all the money that goes down the drain in cinemas, theaters, discos and films and videos and everything else, that didn't affect anybody. We didn't say that all that money should be saved up and then form a trust and then we give scholarships. But this money that is being used for Qurbani purposes, there suddenly the person becomes very God conscious and becomes really concerned about humanity at large. And now he says we should first collect this and now. And they had a whole movement. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward those ulama who did not care what happens. Because the movement was so strong that it was convincing argument, especially for scholars at the universities, colleges and others. It was convincing argument. They said, yes, that's right. In one house there are 10 people and 10 of them are slaughtering one animal. What it is going to cost? Like here if we say an average animal is 1,000, so it'll be 10,000 rands. So they say, now instead of that, slaughter one, and after that the rest of those who had to do qurbani, instead of that, just pool it up, get together and form a trust and start distributing scholarships. So the reason for this is our weakness. We do not understand what the purpose is. What is the objective? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is not short of any kind of meat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Neither the flesh of the animal reaches Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala nor its blood. It is the taqwa. Allah ta'ala wants to see that piety. Allah ta'ala wants to see the sincerity. He wants to see with what niyat the person is making that qurbani. Now, if that person is making qurbani and his whole niyat is nothing else except we're going to enjoy some meat. Therefore, people who are now going to buy animals also. Ha, they say, oont re oont teri konsi kal sidi. O camel, which part of your body is straight? But these things are not mentioned, so therefore we take it for granted. Now people say that the animal must be a lamb because it is good for bride. So now the lamb is for bride. That means that qurbani also now is for the bride that we are going to have. It's not that the animal must be looking good. One person was saying that, Maulana, sometimes the weight of the animal, the weight of the flesh, is not that much because there's so much of wool on the animal and it looks big only. So therefore they ask, what is the weight of the animal? Whereas what we should be looking at is the beauty of the animal. In reality, and brothers, honestly I tell you, that I had in the early years the opportunity to buy the animal very, very early. In our student days in Darul Uloom, 6 months before time, got a beautiful sheep. After our service, to take it for a walk and groom it and look after it and feed it and nurse it. Then when the day of Qurbani came and I was placing the knife on that animal, believe me, my tears rolled as if I was really slaughtering my child. That is Qurbani. But now we don't have that kind of facilities. It's a different thing. But this to just one share here, one share there, we sent it away, 100 rand, it's over. That is not Qurbani. Yes, you'll get the sawab of the nafil qurbani. If you do it, alhamdulillah, poor and needy will benefit. But we should not say that the qurbani is solely for that, to distribute meat to the poor and needy. So all these defects that I mentioned, they have no effect on the flesh of the animal. So now this person should look at the animal, the beauty of the animal, and not that how many kilograms of meat will I get from this animal, so that I can have so much of bribe. If the animal is looking good, beautiful, nice, acceptable, good and presentable, then buy that animal, even though my 5 kgs of meat come out from there. Then you see the enjoyment in there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us a good understanding of these ahkam of Allah ta'ala, which are not just rituals, rituals, rituals as we say. May Allah ta'ala give us sahat, afiyat, salamati. Allah ta'ala accept the hajj of the hujjaj, remove the difficulties or any kind of obstacles. Allah make it maqbool, mabroor. Allah ta'ala accept the du'as, tawaf, ziyarat, ibadat. And Allah ta'ala give us also the ability to do the qurbani in the best of possible manner. Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of the Ummah and mankind around the globe.